Let's read some from Matthew's, the 16th chapter. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather, today, for the sky is red and lowering. All ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the time? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. But what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." You know, we see the wonderful words of Jesus here before us. We hear the Lord speaking to Peter. And we find the Lord helping Peter to be able to understand or differentiate between what is spirit and what is flesh. Jesus said one time, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born to the spirit is spirit." And so then he tells Peter here, after he hears Peter's statement concerning the Son of God, he says, "Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you." Said it's a spiritual revelation, Peter. This is not some kind of intellectual reasoning that you've come upon. Nor is this some kind of an indoctrination that somebody has shared with you. But Peter, my Father, and the Bible says that God is a spirit. My Father, which is in heaven, hath revealed this unto you, Peter. Therefore, I have given unto you a spiritual revelation. And I say this, Peter, that upon this rock I shall build my church. My church shall be a spiritual revelation. Upon revelation, Peter, upon the Spirit that revealed this to you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. I'm glad today that God did exactly that. God sent Peter to the Jews, and there was great revival, there was great miracles. There was great things that took place. A great moving of the Spirit. But when God got ready to really establish the church that he called the bride, he sent Paul the Revelator. He sent a revelation saying, upon this revelation, upon Christ, the Spirit, upon this Christ, upon this Christ, Peter, that has penetrated the hardness of your heart. Upon this Christ that's been able to get into your soul, Peter. This great spiritual voice, this mind that has revealed itself unto thee, Peter. Upon this rock I build a church. Nothing shall prevail against it. Simon Bar-Jona, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter, your reasoning didn't give you this. You didn't lean to your own understanding. It never come from the source of education. This never come from the indoctrination of Jewish teachings. Peter, you struck something. You struck something that is out of this world. Something has happened to you. It is no wonder that God, speaking through the mouth of Paul, said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Isn't that what he said? Paul teaching said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're bathed in Christ, I cannot do it, he said. Therefore, he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Are you praying? Have you prayed that God would give you the spirit of revelation? So many people in the world today, rather than praying that God will grant to them the spirit of revelation, they mock people who preach revelation. They make a joke out of revelation. They talk about divine healing and divine deliverance when they know nothing of divine healing and they know nothing of divine deliverance. As a matter of fact, to the contrary, all they're doing is playing some kind of game. They go about telling people that they've got some kind of ministry, and they shove people around, and they act like a bunch of children, having absolutely nothing from God, not even establishing the faith and the word and the doctrine of holiness. And when you speak of revelation, they know nothing of revelation. And they haven't prayed that God would give them revelation. And they make a joke out of it when you talk about revelation, because they are so carnally minded, so far from a born-again experience, so far from knowing the reality of Christ. Therefore, they get into their own foolishness. But, beloved friend, I wonder tonight how many of us here, even at Bethlehem, that knows the right thing. I wonder how many of us have prayed the prayer, God, grant unto me the spirit of revelation. Have you prayed the prayer? If I started tonight, one at a time, and I ask you this question, have you prayed that God would give you the spirit of revelation? I wonder what kind of response that I would have tonight. Hallelujah. I'm so glad tonight that God has given me the spirit of revelation. I pray to God, Father, grant unto me the spirit of revelation, because I read in the word that upon this I will establish my church. And Heavenly Father, I realize that the spirit of revelation is the spirit of Christ, and that without the spirit of Christ, I have no hope of eternal life. For it is Christ within me, the hope of glory. And if I have that Christ within me, it is spiritual. It is a spiritual awakening. It is a spiritual unveiling. For that same Christ that came up from the grave as he walked on the way to Emmaus with those people, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he expounded the word to us by the way? As he told us about the wonderful words of God, as he unveiled the deep mysteries of Christ, as he told us these great things of Jesus. A lot of people take the outlook that there is no such thing as a mystery. They say, Brother Pike, the gospel is very simple. But I want you to know that the Bible says great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels and caught up into heaven. And Paul said, I am made a steward of those mysteries. I realize that you cannot take mysteries and give them to babes in Christ. I realize that you have to preach a simple, down-to-earth message. I realize when you go into the fields of evangelism, even here in the United States, that people are so far from the knowledge of God that you have to preach a simple, down-to-earth message of just repentance and praying for the sick and teaching deliverance. I realize that. But my brother, that does not change the fact that God has a church that is born to the spirit of revelation, that's going to be translated out of this world and be taken away that they might not go through the tribulation period. It doesn't change the fact that God has a spiritual church in the earth today. preaching the gospel and the simplicity of the gospel doesn't take away from the fact that God has the spirit of revelation in the heart of men today and that God has a church in the earth. We preach simple messages going down into Central America, South America, into the islands, into Europe. Just a simple message. Many times over the television, just a simple message. Many times over the radio, a simple message. Many times in the printed page, a simple message. But my brother, I want you to know that though we preach a simple message of repentance to them that are without, to them that don't understand, yet it doesn't change the fact that God has called the church to the deep hidden mysteries of Christ, commanding us to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ to the full measure of the full stature of the Son of God. I'm glad tonight that I have the spirit of revelation. I'm glad tonight that God's spirit is within my heart. I'm glad tonight that I am continually looking into the mysteries of God. Not very often is there a day that goes by, but what God grants unto me the opportunity to view or to look into the great mysteries of the Son of God. Almost every day without fail, I adventure out into the great beyond. I find the wonderful understanding of God. Almost every day that goes by, I find myself in the deep hidden mysteries of God. And I see them unveiled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when you think about Peter, James, and John, two or three men that God confided in, two or three men that Christ had confidence in. When you think about those men, look at the difference that Jesus made as he took those men with him. Even on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was men that Jesus had confidence in. He separated himself from the others. He had stood at the base of the mountain yet preached the gospel of Christ. He had stood there. He had healed the sick. He had had great revivals. They had seen the wonders of God. But he did not expound the great spiritual mysteries. But then he called to one or two trustworthy people and said, come and go with me. You know the song said, come and go with me to my Father's house. Hallelujah, come and go with me to my Father's house. He said, come and go with me. For I say unto you that there is some standing here that shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. Oh, my brother, it wasn't but just a little while they stood upon the mountain and saw the kingdom of God revealed to their very eyes in power and in glory. There upon the mountain they beheld it. They saw the mystery. They beheld the mystery. They saw it unveil itself. And they saw the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. What a great experience it was. There, separated from the rest of them. Oh, it's the same way today. We can mock and make a joke out of religion. We can laugh when God is trying to do something in the earth. We can go about with our little gimmicks, overconfident in ourselves, telling ourselves that we're something that we're not, thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But beloved friend, while you're doing that, God is calling some others that are willing to grow, that are willing to listen, that's willing to believe. And he's taking those few that's willing to humble themselves, taking them away into the Spirit, revealing to them the great wonderful mysteries of Almighty God. And they're getting the heavenly treasure, Paul said, in these earthen vessels. What a wonderful experience it is. My heart is thrilled. A lot of times, a minister of God will preach holiness. Some reprobate will stand up against holiness and discourage the people. Try to tell them that it's not needful because God loves them anyway, that God doesn't require those kind of things. All you have to do is believe. Get them in some charismatic rut, as we say. Standing up against the Word of God, not realizing their foolishness, hindering the maturity of the sons of God, hindering the redemption of the body, hindering the growth of the sons and daughters of God to the full measure of the full stature of the Son of God. Leaning upon what they call grace, not realizing that God doesn't give grace to those that shun holiness, those that walk contrary to godliness, those that will not conform to holiness. God does not give grace to those that refuse holiness. My brother, my sister, grace is for those that are struggling to perfect holiness unto God. Grace is for those that are struggling to become sons and daughters and be perfected in God. The Bible tells us to go on unto perfection. God tells us not to turn again to lay the foundation of repentance over and over and over in building the house of God, but that we should go on to be perfect in God, to be therefore perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect, that we should be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let us follow in his steps who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Jesus commanded us to walk a straight path, to carry out the word of God, that the lame be not turned aside, but rather let it be healed. Christ, speaking to us, has commanded us to perfect our lives, producing fruits unto holiness, having the end thereof, everlasting life. By their fruits ye shall know them. Be holy, for I am holy. Many people are depending upon grace, and as I said the other night, there is no grace, my brother. There is no grace, my sister, except this dispensational grace that is upon the wicked. There is no grace to those that are without except that grace. There is no grace to those that have spun the revelation, those that have shunned God's word, that have counted it as naught. There is no grace for those people except this dispensational grace, which is an allowance until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. And I want you to know that the time is at hand. The day is far spent. The days of the Gentiles is closing out. Their days of grace is over. That's why that they're in such a state of turmoil today. That's why they're having such problems today. Oh, my brother, my sister, my beloved friend, I hope that you can understand today that God's eyes are throughout the earth beholding the good and the evil. His eyes going to and fro in the earth, looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf. God is looking for the upright in heart because he wants to show himself strong in their behalf. I would like to have God show himself strong in my behalf. I'm so glad today that God is with me. You say, how do you know that God is with you? David said, I know that God favors me. But how do you know that God favors you, Brother Pike? The Bible said, I know that God favors me because my enemies, they do not triumph over me. As long as your enemies doesn't triumph over you, you know that God favors you, my brother. As long as God makes the way, as long as God opens the door when the enemy comes in like a flood, as long as God lifts up a standard against him, you know that God favors you. But when you find yourself failing and you find yourself in such a predicament that you can't find an exodus, you can't find a way of escape, then you know that you've crossed God somewhere. When you find the devil on your trail and he's pressing the life out of you and you can't get things to come together and you can't stay afloat, you know there's something wrong. But oh, hallelujah, I'm so glad that Christ today, he's still looking, he's still watching, he's still helping those that will call upon his name, those that will lift up a standard of holiness. I preached the message last night, and in that great, wonderful day, there shall be holiness upon the horse's bridle. There shall be holiness upon the pots and pans. In that day, the theme of that great millennium age shall be holiness unto the Lord. My brother, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if you and I are going to be the occupants of that great, wonderful age, then we'd better get started on our route of holiness today. We'd better start practicing holiness today, or we're going to fail to fit in with the people of that age. We'd better start thinking about holiness today. We'd better start conforming to holiness today. We'd better start perfecting our ways today, or we're going to be out of place over there. Don't you know it's going to be a sad hour when we stand before God? And there, as we stand before God, all of the nations of the world shall come. All of the ministers shall come. And those ministers that have told the people that they did not have to practice holiness, those that have told them that it was not necessary, all of those people will be standing there on that day. And those great prophets, whereas he used the terms, my holy apostles and prophets, those holy apostles and prophets that taught people to be holy, that preach holiness, when they stand there before God and all of them together stand there, what a sad moment that's going to be. My brother, don't you know that's going to be a sad day when hundreds and millions of people shall gather before the great throne of God, and millions of people shall stand there with the attitude that it wasn't necessary to dress holy. It wasn't necessary to talk holy. It wasn't necessary to live holy. All I had to do was believe, and it made me holy. Oh, how foolish can people be? Don't you realize that when you believe according to the Word. And there is no believing of God. There's no faith outside of the Word of God. And when you believe in the Word of God. And faith cometh by the Word of God. And when you believe the Word of God, you believe in holiness. You believe the Word of God that teaches holiness. You believe the Word of God that tells you to dress holy. You believe the Word of God that tells you to talk holy. You believe the Word of God that tells you that you have your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life. Hallelujah. But you say there's no need. But the Bible said be holy in body. Be holy in body. There is a redemption of body, my brother, as well as a redemption of a spirit. Paul said that I might present you blameless body, soul, and spirit. There is a redemption of the body. The Bible said be holy in body as well as holy and in spirit. I believe in being holy in spirit. I believe God has made me holy in spirit. I believe by the shed blood of Jesus Christ I'm holy in spirit. I believe I've been translated into the marvelous spirit, a kingdom of God by his great spirit. But my beloved brother, my beloved sister, I also believe that I must perfect holiness in my body. I must be holy in my body. I must dress as becometh holiness. I must speak as becometh holiness. The Bible said, let your conversation be holy. I must let my conversation be holy. You know, a lot of people, they talk about everything but the right thing. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Their conversation is supposed to be in heaven. Isn't that right? Their conversation is supposed to be in heaven, but do they have their conversation in heaven? Is their conversation in heaven? Is their conversation in heaven? Do they speak of godly things and holy things? Wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. Their treasures are in the flesh, having loved this present world. They care for the ambitions of the flesh. They care for the feelings and infatuations, the lust of the flesh. They care for these passions, these human senses, these feelings. They care for prestige and money. They care for the affairs of this world. They are therefore entangled with the things of this world. They care for laughing and joking and foolishness and frolic. Whereas the Bible said, being a minister, let it not be named one among you once. Whereas being a child of God, don't even so much as discuss those things that are done in secret. You will defile yourself in doing those things. They believe in railing upon people. Brute beasts coming down with railing accusations upon people. Whereas the Bible uses the term that angels greater in power and might would not dare do so. For even the angel of God, when contending with Satan over the body of Moses having the dispute, did not bring railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. Therefore, should we use any more stronger speech than to say, the Lord rebuke thee? Should we use any more stronger speech than what the terms of the Bible is before us? Oh, my brother, my sister, what a great, mighty hour this is. What a great, inspiring moment it is to stand as sons and daughters of God, to have the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit of God, whereas the Bible uses the term to be filled with the Spirit. Don't let your hearts be overcharged with the servitting and cares of this life. But oh, my brother, be filled with the Spirit. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, unto the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. Don't draw back from what God tells you, but go on with God. Let us go on unto perfection. I think of it like this. Here we are, born again. Vessels, it's been sanctified, perfected forever by God's offering of Calvary. Here we are. All we have to do is be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Is your cup running over, as David said? Are you filled with the Spirit? We are supposed to be filled with the Spirit, my brother, my sister. We're supposed to be filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? As Jesus walked the Galilean shores, he was filled with the Spirit. The Bible said Stephen was a man that was filled with the Spirit. And the Bible said as they fasted and prayed together, they were filled with the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you walking in all of the light that you have? The Bible tells us that when John the Baptist was born, that his mother, his father, was walking in all the light that they had. Are you walking in all of the light that you have? If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. Are you walking in all the light that you have? If you're not walking in all the light that you have, let me encourage you tonight to walk in the light as Christ is in the light, that you may have fellowship one with another. And oh, my beloved brother, remember that we are the light of the world, and that we should let our light so shine that men should see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. How can men glorify our Father which is in heaven if they see no good works? He that nameth the name of Christ, let him maintain good works. How then can we show good works if we do not believe in good works? Therefore, faith being without works, your faith is dead. We need to have good works that we might be holy. Speaking of the light, a night or two ago, I had the vision of the angelic visitor. I was on my way to a certain place, and it seemed that the people that was with me was in question as to whether I knew where I was going. I kept telling them that we was to go to a certain place. We was going to have kind of a jubilee. I kept telling those that was with me, I said, all we've got to do to go to, we'll just go to a certain place. And they seemed to be in question as to whether I might be mistaken or not. And I said, yes, I know the way. I said, I know the house. It's right over here. I said, because they're my relatives. They're far off relatives, you know. They're distant relatives. I haven't seen them in a long time. But I know that they're my relatives, and we're going over to that house. But they kept questioning me. But in this vision, there was a man that came out from this certain house, and he met me in the way, and he came to me and came to me and the people. And there as he stood before me, I looked at him, a man of normal size. As he stood there looking at me, he was tender on the inside, but very direct in his outlook, very forward in his outlook, no relinquishing in his spirit, no shifting of the spirit, no double-mindedness, very forward, straight forward in his attitude and appearance. And he looked at me with that straight forward gaze without any relinquishing or wavering. I looked straight back at him as much as I could with the same attitude. But all of a sudden I looked, and his left eye was as though you turned on a flashlight, and it just turned on, and a great ray came out from it, the light that penetrated my very being and went through me. And I was aware immediately that he could penetrate my very being and see within me and see all about me. And I knew that he was no ordinary man, that he was an angelic visitor. And I remember how that he emphasized moderation, how that he emphasized temperance, and how that he made me to know in that this was of great importance. But it seemed that he had come that the people also might be convinced that I did know my sense of direction and where I was going, and that my way of direction was right. But he had come to let me know and let them know, to meet us in the way, that they might know that what I had said about the way to the house or the home was right. So then God, I feel, is with us. God, I believe, is walking with us. As when the angel appeared to me in Florida and stood by my bed when he spoke to me and placed the ring upon my finger and said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. When lo, I shall be with thee in the time of trouble and in the time of need. And God, having stood with me down through the years, that same great God, that same great one from time to time, coming and talking, the same angelic visitor talking and visiting from time to time with me, and I'm sure with you and with others in the church, down through the church ages, he hath come, telling us about the wonderfulness of God, telling us about the greatness of God. And the Bible said after Jesus had finished his fast in the wilderness, the angels of the Lord appeared to him, and there they strengthened him. A lot of times when a man can't seem to go on and he seems to be weak, he seems like he's faltering, it seems like he's failing, it seems like he can't get a hold of anything, all of a sudden, from out of that great, wonderful spiritual realm, there comes forth the great angelic visitor. And he comes forth to strengthen. He comes forth to catch hold of the hand, to lift you up, to give you a special inspiration that you might continue on in godliness. I remember one time when I was praying. I had been seeking God a little bit, and I was praying all night. And over toward the morning, while praying all night, I was so weary, and I slumped down like this on the edge of the bed, and so weary and broken in spirit. And all of a sudden, I felt somebody's hands reach over and touch me on the shoulder with great compassion. And it tore me up, because I could hear that inward voice as it spoke, saying, I understand, my son. I have been where you are. And I am well pleased. And it just tore me up. But the strength of the inspiration, the visitation, lives on and on and on as God comes to you, as God touches you, as God inspires you to let you know that he's watching and that he's interested, because you are interested in him and his kingdom. Daniel set his face to seek God. And the Bible said the angel of God appeared unto Daniel and said, O thou beloved man of God, because thou art concerned, you know, of my people, because thou art concerned of the kingdom of God, or because you're concerned about the things of righteousness. He could have said it that way. He said, oh, thou beloved man of God. Oh, thou beloved man of God. God has noticed you. God hath noticed you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you and I could find favor in the sight of God? That God would look upon us and say, oh, thou beloved man of God. How thrilled I would be to hear those wonderful words. If God would but one time look at me and say, oh, thou beloved man of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? So then Jesus said, Peter, I've given thee a revelation. What is that revelation? Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. Hallelujah. Christ within you, the hope of glory, thou art the Christ. I've given you a revelation. And who do men say that I am, Peter? Well, some say that you're this, and some say that you're that. Maybe Elijah, maybe Jeremiah, maybe one of the other prophets. But he said, Peter, what do you think about it? Oh, he said, that's different. I've got a different thought on it altogether. How do you feel, Peter? I believe that you are the Christ of God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, my beloved friend, the Catholic Church of today has founded theirs upon Peter. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But Peter had to go the way of all the earth. Isn't that right? So the Catholic Church fell through. Somebody say, amen. But Jesus said, I found my church upon the Christ. The revelation. Why the Christ? Because Peter, you're not going to be the one that's overcoming death of your own accord. You don't have the power to lay down your life or to take it up as I do. But this commandment I have of my Father, I can lay my life down or take it up. Therefore, Peter, who do you say that I am? I say that you're the Christ. I am the Christ, he said. Upon this Christ, this rock, the church will be founded, Jesus was saying. Upon this Christ that you see in this walking Jesus, Peter. Or that is, God was speaking back to Peter saying, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. Hallelujah. There was an inspiration from God. Upon this Christ that shall resurrect from the dead, I shall build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do you feel like you're part of the church of the living God tonight? Do you feel like you're one of the stones in the building tonight? Are you resting upon the foundation of Christ within you, the hope of glory tonight? That's the only foundation that's unshakable and unmovable. Isn't that right? For we're looking for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that right? Old brother Abraham found that city. Abraham found that city. I've said this a lot of times. This world is floating around in space. Isn't that right? Just a great big ball. They've learned that it don't have a foundation. Which means there's not a city in the earth that has a foundation, because the earth doesn't even have a foundation. But old brother Abraham sought a city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whose builder and maker is God. And Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. He's given me the blueprint. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus is that chief cornerstone. And John said, I saw that city descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. I am seeking a city. And John said, I beheld that city. Her light was precious, fire and great, like a jasper stone to look upon. A beautiful rainbow about the throne of God. I found the city. I fell on my knees and I cried, holy, holy. I bowed on my knees and I sang, glory, for the Lamb is the light thereof. I found the city whose foundation, the city with foundation whose builder and maker is God. Whose builder and maker is God, the city of lively stones that heads up into Jesus Christ in that pyramid building. That's filled with the spirit of his great inner light. That light of understanding that radiates. That all of the earth, all of the universe may see through the great mind of understanding of the light of God. Your understanding being enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depths, the length. For the Lamb is the light thereof, and there shall be no night in that city, for no more carnal mind shall be there. Paul turned my people from the carnal mind to the mind of Christ, from darkness unto light. Well, there will be no more carnal mind there, for to be carnally minded is death, and death will have be passed from that city. So then the foundations of that city was Peter and James and John, and the names were written in the foundations thereof. A city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And other foundations can no man lay except the 12 that Jesus chose. Those that Jesus laid, other foundations can no man lay. My brother, he laid the foundations of the teachings of this great apostolic way. Let every man take heed how he build thereupon. For if he build straw, he build stubble. If he try to build anything else, if he build by emotion, by feelings, by enthusiasm for money, prestige, foolishness, the day shall try his works, and they shall be burned. But let every man's works be proven. If his works do not burn, he shall receive a reward. The day shall burn as an oven and try his works. Therefore, beloved friend, the city with foundation, whose builder and maker is God, let's be careful as we lay these lively stones upon it, one after another, until we come to that great pyramid capstone, Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Son of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You love Jesus? Who was Paul the Apostle? He represented the great capstone of that Peter, James, and John foundation. That great Christ revealed within him that stood in the midst of the candlesticks of the seven churches that he established. There he stood in those great church ages. Christ within you, the hope of glory, choosing me to reveal Christ in me. What a wonderful inspiration, what a wonderful thought, as the sun that shineth within his strength, for the Lamb is the light thereof. And they have no need for the sun, for there is no night in that city. You love Jesus? Down from the throne flows the river of life, and the trees on either side of the river of life, the tree of life with their roots running down into the river of life. That's what makes them the tree of life. And from the river of life, those roots drank that water of life up into their branches, and their leaves are for the healing of the nation. And their fruits are for the children of the new world. What a wonderful thought. Do you love Jesus? And the Lamb is the light thereof. The Lamb is the light thereof. And what is that light? John said the revelation of Jesus Christ. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Flesh and blood hath not revealed, that is a revelation, hath not come to you from reasoning, but rather from God. Let's stand together. There's a lot of things I'd like to say tonight and taking my time to minister to you. But I appreciate your patience. Continue in well-doing, for in such, Paul said, ye shall reap eternal life. Glad to have Brother Bob McKenzie back here with us, McKinney, and also our Brother Richard Ross, a Rose it is. It's kind of hard to tell anything much up here from these lights. These lights, they're pretty strong, and they're right in my face, but we're certainly glad to have our brother Rose back there with us. He's been here with us before, and he has ministered for us. He's originally out of Canada, and Brother McKinney, Brother Red's brother, has been here before, and we've talked in fellowship quite a long time together. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil that run down Aaron's beard. Isn't it wonderful? If you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus shall cleanse you from all sin. You can tell when you're getting out of the light, which is the mind of his love, because you won't have fellowship with your brother. You won't find fellowship with your brother. You'll be critical. You'll find fault with your brother. And you'll be critical. And you won't have time for your brother, nor to visit with your brother, nor to love your brother. But when you walk in the light, you'll love your brother. And then you know that you are a Christian. For we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. The only proof that you have eternal life is love, for love is as strong as death. Therefore, if you love the brethren, then you have passed from death unto life. If you do not fellowship the brethren, it is proof that you do not love indeed. Therefore, you do not love the brethren. Therefore, you're not in the light. You're not born again. You do not have the love that has overcome death. Can you say, I love Jesus? Let's sing that little chorus together, can we? We will walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Can you sing it again? We will walk in the light, that beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let's sing it one more time, can you? I will walk in the light, the beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. They will come from the east and the west. Can you sing it? They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face, filled with his love divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Can you sing it again? Oh, they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are. Hallowed face, they're filled with his love divine. They're blessed partakers of God's grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Don't you just love Jesus? I feel Jesus tonight, don't you? I feel him moving tonight. I feel him moving by his wonderful blessings and glory tonight. Can't you visualize Jesus tonight? Can't you feel the wonderful presence of God? Night after night, as we stood and been partakers of his divine grace, I felt his wonderful blessings flow. And I've seen his wonderful spirit fall in our midst. As Peter spake to the people, the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And I felt the Holy Ghost moving here tonight. The other night as I spake, I felt the Holy Ghost fall upon you. I saw him fall upon you as you gathered around the altar. And you begin to rejoice and cry aloud in the praises and magnificence of God. And I feel God even here tonight. How wonderful. How wonderful. Do you love him tonight? I love him. I love him because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing one more time now? I love him. Can you lift your hands up and close your eyes? I love him because he first loved me and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Do you feel Jesus doing anything for you tonight? Do you? Do you? This is camp meeting. I want you to come around the altar for a minute while they're playing. I feel his blessings. Hallelujah. I feel the quickening of his spirit, don't you? Can you come tonight? Will you come tonight? Let's all come tonight. Let's stand around the altar for just a moment tonight. Night after night, we gather around the altar. We lift our hands to heaven in honor and obeisance unto God, reverence and respect unto our Master. I would that men everywhere, the writer said, lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I used to wonder why it was that God wanted men to lift up holy hands. I used to say it within my heart, oh Lord, Why would you want men to lift their hands up? I don't understand a God that wants men to lift their hands up. What's that got to do with it, Lord? And the Lord spoke back to me and said, Son, every time I look at those hands that are lifted up, I see the hands of Christ hanging at Calvary, bruised and torn. And I see the body of Jesus. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands. My brother, you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, and your hands are holy tonight. Can you lift up holy hands tonight that he might see Christ within you? You say, but Brother Pike, I believe Christ is already within me. But the Bible said, show me your faith by your works. Be holy in body. Make an effort. How is it that we say we believe? And that's all that we have to do is believe. But yet when the sick is to be healed, we say we must lay hands upon them. We must pray for them. We must do something with our body. But when it comes to salvation, we don't do anything. We just believe. Oh, how foolish we are. Blind guides that strain in a net and swallow a camel. The blind lead the blind. They all fall into the ditch. And the whore is the great ditch, the mind of carnality and reasoning. And they that are abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein. The carnal mind, the derivative from the garden, the fall of the tree of knowledge. For I say to lean not to your own understanding, Jesus said, but to trust in the Lord with all of your heart, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And David said, even to the intents of my heart. How wonderful, how wonderful, how wonderful. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, he hath made me glad. Yes, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Let's sing it again. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Can you praise